We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
Well, once again, I'm just really excited, super excited to be continuing on our series on tests. And tonight I'm just going to go ahead and come out and tell you that the test that we are going to be talking about tonight is the servant test. And unfortunately, this word servant is kind of a hot button word in our culture of personal freedoms. To be a servant, that's kind of a taboo thing to say. But I want to go ahead and first just define what a servant actually is. A servant is defined as a person, male or female, that attends another for the purpose of performing tasks for them and is subject to their command. So when we're talking about a servant, we're talking about someone who performs tasks at the command of another. And so they answer to that person. And so when we're talking about the servant test, we're talking about the times where we have to answer to others, and ultimately to God. And a lot of people take that personally. We like the idea of being a little lord under the big lord. We like that idea. We like the idea of getting crowns, and we like the idea of being somebody. Of course, not bigger than these somebody. But to be a servant, we would just rather take a double helping of prosperity and just pass on that. But we have to understand that the servant-master dynamic is key and paramount to the fullness and totality of the gospel message and the glory of the new covenant that we are all participating in currently. But we kind of get stuck on being the friend of God, We're friends of God. Yeah. Give me some of that. Child of the Most High. This is kind of gross to me, but Daddy God, we're okay with, Father God, us being son, daughter, sign us up for that. But Master, he's my boss. Again, it's tough. It's tough for us. We sometimes like the idea of a spiritual ATM kind of a guy, but not so much of a guy literally telling us what to do, and then we have to go do what he says. Paul actually took that servant word that we don't like and said it another way. He kind of took it a step further. Romans 6:18 says, "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." Now, I want to make sure that I preface all this. That song we just read, or just sang and read along with that was on the screen, totally true. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But what we've been freed from does not exclude us from the things that we are now servants to, slaves to. And again, the reason why that word, we struggle with that word, especially in our culture, in our time, is we hear slave and we go, that's a dirty word. That's the black eye of our country. That's the biggest thing that our country's had to deal with in the sense of slavery. I want you to read here in just a second. The slavery, the slave, the servant mindset that's being talked about is not what we know. And I want to show you that it's never been like that. Exodus 21:16. "Anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death, whether the victim has been sold or is still in the kidnapper's possession." When we're talking about slavery as we know and understand it to be, America's system of slavery, that's not what the Bible is talking about when it talks about us being slaves to God. And we'll break it down even more into the Hebrew word and the Greek word. But the American system of slavery under the Mosaic law actually should have been punishable by death. God's not into, whether foreign or not, God's not into us kidnapping people and forcing them against their will to be our possession. I want to get you to give you a word, another word. Bond servant. Now, this is not just a New Age apologetic word to try to gloss over something that's in the Bible that we don't. Bondservant is the word that's being used here. And I want to give you two words. The first word in Hebrew, which would have been anytime you that it'd be talk about the Israelites having slaves or having servants, is this word abed. Abed. I'm not going to spell it for you. Just abed, however you think that spells. Jones and just want to know how to spell everything. I'm not doing that with y'all. But abed means bondservant. Okay? In the New Testament, when it talks about slaves obey your masters, or us being slaves to righteousness, rather, there is a word called doulos. Okay, doulos. Guess what that word stands for? Bondservant. Okay? Bondservant. And here's what a bondservant is. A bondservant is a person whom, in order to pay off a debt, chooses to work for another person doing menial tasks in order to pay off their debt. There's a key word in there. Chooses. Okay? Chooses. All right? Versus the definition for a slave. A slave, as we know, in the history of our country or the countries around the world, of a slave, when we think of the connotations of a slave. A slave in those connotations is a person who is forced to work and obey another person and is considered to be their property. God has not forced anyone to do anything since the beginning of time. If God wanted to force us all, he would have never given us free will to choose him. Rather, what we've seen and what we've learned is because of what Christ has done for us, I realize now that there is a debt that must be paid. My sin debt has been paid, and it was something I could never pay. Therefore, what I choose is, because I'm no longer a slave to sin, I am a slave or a servant to righteousness. Okay. Choice versus force. God's not in the business of force. And so I want you to see that. And even a bondservant had limitations on how long you could keep somebody. They had this little thing in Leviticus 25 you'll read about called the year of Jubilee. You know what happened in the year of Jubilee? Everybody gets set free from any debts they have. As a matter of fact, anybody who had any kind of debt, we're wiping that clean. If you were borrowing land from somebody, we're wiping that clean. If you had property that was taken away, that was given back. We had different things. The year of Jubilee, and debts were forgiven, slaves were freed, and property was restored. Just a little fact, as we're going to be talking about the servant test. Do you know what year Jesus was crucified in? He was crucified in a Jubilee year. Jesus was crucified in a Jubilee year. Debts were forgiven. Slaves were freed. And property was restored. Your sin of debt was forgiven. You were a slave to sin, and you had no choice in the matter. But you were freed. And property was restored. What property? Authority was given to us to retake dominion over this earth. And whatever we bind on this earth, by the power of God we bind, and whatever we loose on this earth. So when we're talking about the servant test, we've got to get away from seeing it as an ugly word. We've got to get out of this thinking that being a slave to God is a good thing. This is a good thing, yet it still remains. Romans 6:18. I'm going to read it to you again. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and verse 20. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. My body, my choice. Not according to 1 Corinthians. And even if we reject, which we wholeheartedly should, this thinking alongside with abortion, oftentimes, we as Christians fight, I should be able to do whatever I want with my body, with my freedom, with my choice, we fight that. We see people living like this all the time. We feel like our rights trump God's word. And you have to realize that whenever you said, I'm going to be bought by God through the sacrifice of his son, you gave up certain rights when you said, God, you are the Lord of my life. We had baptism Sunday. And the question that I asked every single person up here being baptized was, has Jesus Christ become the Savior of your life and the Lord of your life? Two-part question. A lot of times we're real quick. I want the saving part of my life. Yeah, sign me up for that. I don't want to go to hell. Sign me up for not going to hell. But Lord of my life, that means he's my master. That means I'm his servant. That means we can't miss it. See, the reason why we miss it, and I say we're in a time of entitlement now. We've always been an entitlement. People have always struggled with entitlement. But this whole idea of we decide what we deserve or what we should get or how we should be treated, deciding what sex or species we should be able to be, deciding what people we get to love and what people we get to hate. See, we are not entitled to our opinions, but when we decide that we're going to live that way and we sit in our divided groups and chortle our way through how they're different than we are, and then we wonder why our predisposed positions have divided what should be the body of Christ, it comes back to we don't realize that we don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought with a price. And God's way for how we should be living as servants of God brings unity into our divided hearts. Here's my point. We as Christians should get to the point of not being upset when we're confronted with the thought that we are no longer the master of our own lives. Let's just go ahead and settle it. You're not. You shouldn't be. And if you're living your life that way, I'm glad you're here tonight. Because I want you to know that the reason why things are turning out for you the way that they're turning out is because you've continued to yield yourself in something that's not going to ever benefit you. And it's better to face correction from the Spirit now than rejection from the Son later. See, let's start thinking, what does he say when we go to enter into heaven? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Guys, we're his servants. We're to be his servants. So let's just go ahead and get comfy with that fact now. And let's learn what it's going to take to pass the tests. See, that's the servant test. Under whose ownership do I really live my own life under? My own ownership? See, this test reveals if we have a servant's heart or demand that we should be served through our life. And the servant test has an answer. And I do want to kind of go ahead and tell on myself. It's very similar to the self-will test. But that's because the self-will test, if you'll go back and listen a couple weeks ago, is kind of a prerequisite to passing this test. See, if you're still struggling with whose will is going to run your life, you're going to have a real hard time ever passing a servant test. We got to get the self-will out of the way. And if you'll remember back, my answer for self-will was submission. Well, tonight, the answer to the servant test is surrender. 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 Beyond just submitting. Okay, submitting is whenever I see this for God's will overwhelms my will. Whenever I really think about it. That's submission. Okay? But to be a servant, I have to surrender the idea of how this relationship is going to go. Okay, I am making this choice now. I am going to be a bond servant. See, I'm not forced. Nobody in this room is forced to be a slave to righteousness. But I recognize the debt that's owed. There is a debt that's still to be paid. And I can't pay it with the entirety of my life. But I'll spend my whole life working, not for my salvation, but to work out as a bondservant of Christ. Y'all getting that tonight? And here's the great news about this. God didn't say, figure it out for yourself. He gave us a great example, Jesus. Let's look to our answer of surrender through the person who set the best example for us to follow. Look to Christ. Christ surrendered in the way that he entered the world. from heaven to a manger. He surrendered. He surrendered to the will of the Father. In the way that he lived, he surrendered. I'm God. At some point, it became very relevant in him who he really was, and yet still he lived surrendered. I'm surrendered to the God's will. And then in the way that he left the world, he left the world the same way he entered and the same way he lived, surrendered. I surrender myself to the cross, not that any man take my life, is what he told Pilate. Nobody takes my life, but I surrender my life because I'm surrendering to the Father. See, we will be judged upon how we served. And that's what we're looking to read. And we have to get entitlement knocking us out of the blessings of God out of our life. Because if we can't get to the point where we live out what we've been chosen for if we can't figure out that we're supposed to be slaves for God. We've got God's people trying to live out the calling that's on their life without seeing that they're to be servants to God. And it doesn't mix. We can't have two masters. Wish that was in the Bible somewhere. When you feel entitled to anything, you lose the blessing of servanthood. And I want to make sure I make this very clear. I'm not saying you have to do everything for free for everybody. That's not what servanthood is either. But what servanthood isn't is entitlement. Is for telling people that you're entitled. And when you've counted the cost of becoming a follower of Christ, you've given up this argument. Well, no one's going to be using me. Do you think Christ ever had that mentality? You're not going to be using me. You're not going to use me like that. You're not going to take advantage of me. Christ knew the whole reason why he came to earth was to be taken advantage of. And I want to even clarify something on that. People get so worried about being taken advantage of, but you're only taken advantage of when you don't know that you're being taken advantage of. You're taken advantage of whenever somebody hook, line, sinkers you, gets you. Oh, didn't see that coming. But whenever you are serving people, following and doing what God's commanded you to do, you're not being taken advantage of. You're being obedient to your master. Do you work for people or do you work for God? Is the work that you do for people or is it for God? Yes, we do things for people. But I'm not trying to please earthly masters. If I please my heavenly master, at the end of the day, most likely my earthly masters are going to be just fine with the work that I've done. Y'all get what I'm saying? But I'll never have to sacrifice how my Father in heaven's pleased with me as long as I'm always looking to please him. So here's what I've got for you guys tonight. The answer of surrender. I've got that going into three things that we must surrender if we're going to be God's servants, okay? And the three things that we've got to learn to surrender if we're going to pass the test is we've got to learn to surrender freedom, to be a good servant. We've got to surrender our personal advancement if we're going to be servants. And we've got to surrender, ultimately, our lives if we're going to fulfill the call of being a servant for people. Okay? So the first thing we must surrender is our freedom. Okay? When we have surrendered our freedom to God, we don't fight our own freedom from God anymore. See, whenever we're concerned with our own freedoms, our freedoms fight against the freedom that God's trying to give us. When we're so concerned about what is being done to us, we're really not so concerned about what's being done through us. All right, and I'm really not trying to keep saying a whole bunch of stuff that's the same thing, but let me read the scripture here to you. Luke 17, 7 through 10. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down and eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything that you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants and we have only done our duty. We get so caught up on the things that we're supposed to be doing anyway, and I see it all over social media all the time. People posting about, man, parenting is hard. Can I get an amen out there, somebody? Like, don't get me wrong. Obviously, parenting's hard. But why are you going around hunting for pats on the back and gold stickers for doing what you're supposed to do anyway? You had the kids. Nobody made you had the kids. You had the kids. So why are you now looking for validation from other people for doing what God's already called you to do? What? Staying married's hard. I know. We were all telling you not to marry her when you got married. But now you've done it. Why are you now coming to us looking for validation? You're just doing what you're supposed to. You're married now. So now the goal is to stay married. And again, nobody's arguing that it's not work to stay married. But we're so worried about what's being done to us, what our freedoms and what we want to do, and now what we can't do because we've got obligations because we're... Look, your time goes out the window when you surrender your freedom. It's out the window. Bye. You don't get that back. When you said, God, I'm going to be your bondservant, that doesn't mean, okay, now you get weekends off from being my bondservant and you just go have ragers and do whatever you want. We'll see you on Monday. Oh, it's the summertime. Well, forget going to church. We're out of the summertime, so everybody's back now. I can say that. Oh, forget going to church. You get what I'm saying? We surrendered our freedom, therefore we surrendered our time. And it's not judgment. I'm not trying to bring judgment to anybody or on anybody. But I'm saying, what did you think you signed up for? Boy, we really like that Savior stuff. We really like that pressed down, shaking together, running over stuff. Nobody coming talking to me about servanthood, man. I ain't trying to hear that. I don't want that. I just want everything else on the side. See, I've never had a weight get easier to carry when I got everyone else around me to agree with me that the weight was heavy to carry. Sure is heavy. Yep. It doesn't get any easier. But I have seen things get easier for me to carry whenever I have my mindset on either for why I'm doing what I'm doing or for whom I'm doing what I'm doing. All of a sudden, then, I can get motivated to carry the weight that I've been called to carry, to do the job that I've been called to do. See, whenever I just get everybody around to complain with me about the job that I have to do and everybody, see everything that's happening to me, see what I have to go through because I'm... Man, isn't God good? Don't we get to serve Him? Don't we get to lay down our life? Do you remember what our lives used to be like before God? Isn't it amazing what we get to do now instead? Isn't the trade-off so? Y'all get what I'm saying? So the first thing we have to surrender if we're going to be servants is our freedom. The second thing that we surrender... Sorry for that cough, Jill. You can edit that out. And then that last whole sentence. We surrender our personal advancements. Now hear me. I'm not saying there's not important Christians in important high positions running companies, doing certain things. But what I'm saying is for us, the title stopped at slave to Christ. That's where the title stopped for me. I'm a slave for Christ. Boom. I can do whatever he wants me to do as being a slave for Christ, but I'm a slave for Christ. Personal advancement for me, it's out the window. Mark 10, we're going to do a little reading here, 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. See, they're just taking God's word. They're just applying it to their lives. See, whatever we ask in God's name, he'll do it, right? What do you want me to do for you, he asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you surely will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong for those whom they have been prepared. When the other 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them all together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them with their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I don't know if Jesus got his words mixed up right there. But it sounded like if you want advancement in the kingdom of heaven, you've got to do the opposite of what you think you have to do. It sounds like what you have to do is you have to serve people if you want to get advanced in the kingdom of heaven. As I was reading this story, I had this thought come in my head. You know, James and John, obviously, they were looking at getting to sit next to Jesus as they could be honored that way. But the other 10 were kind of mad at them, not because they asked, not like, how dare you ask to be honored. They were, oh, shoot, I wish we would have asked for that. They were kind of feeling like they missed out. And we all have this connotation from in the story, you shouldn't want to sit next to Jesus. You should be happy to be a doorman in the house of God. And don't get me wrong. That should be the posture of our heart in the sense of, I already know the person throwing the party, and he knows me. And because I know that he knows me, it doesn't matter where I sit. Because he'll come find me. He'll come find me. But I wonder, though, that was me and Dale were having that conversation, and Dale brought that point up, so I told him I'd give him a shout out. I told him that was a pretty good point. I'm not going to give you any credit for that, though. But I got to thinking, though, how many of us settle for being a doorman in the house of the Lord? Because we really think that it's about, well, I don't have to sit next to Jesus. I mean, he knows. Or is it really about, I don't really know that guy? See, some of us, we're so caught up on, well, you shouldn't care where you sit at the banquet table with Jesus. But my question is, shouldn't we care? A little bit? Shouldn't we care? Or why else are we wanting to go to the party? Are we just happy just to be at the table? Again, this whole point is surrendering personal advancement. I get that. But are you doing it? Are you surrendering personal advancement just because I'm in the party? Jesus is down there, and I got all these other cool guys that I'm looking forward to hanging out with. He's the whole reason why we should be excited to be at the party. Again, this is kind of an easy point in the sense of we got to understand we're servants of Christ. That's where we draw the line at. It's not about how close you sit. But on the flip side of that, do you care at all? I mean, we got people like that in churches all over the United States that they'll bother to get in. But they don't ever really bother to get in. Because in their mind, well, I'm already in. but they don't ever get here because it's not about who's in here. You guys get what I'm saying there? So again, we surrender our personal advancement, but at the same time, we also ought to be thinking about, should we care? Like, let's say it really did matter how much we serve people. Where would you be sitting at in relevance to where Jesus is? And remember, why we serve is so that I want to be able to sit closer to Jesus. This is just what challenged me. If my seating arrangement was based upon how much I'm willing to live my life as a bondservant for Christ, how close would I sit? Because again, the whole dedication of being a bondservant or a slave for Christ is because I want to serve Him. Just something to think about. Servants don't seek, now back to the actual point. Servants don't seek prestige. That's not why we do it. And there are a lot of people who, the only reason why they wish to serve God is because they want an advisory position on the board. They want to be a manager. They want to be put over people, you know, fun stuff like that. But we surrender all of that whenever we say, I'm going to be a bondservant of Christ. And then the last thing that we surrender ultimately is our life. Our life belongs not to us, but to God. Our life doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. And we, in belonging to God, belong to who God says that we belong to. So if we belong to God and we, in effect, have to do what He says, then if He says, hey, you have to belong to this group of people, we say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Will that be all, sir? And then we go and we belong to who He says. But I want to read. We're going to read another passage of Scripture here to you. Matthew 20. Verse 1 through 16, I'm going to read this real quick, and I'm going to close this point up. But for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw the others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about at noon and about at 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. Then when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius, a full day's wage. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for denarius? Take your pay and go. I will give to the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money, or are you envious because I am so generous? You surrendered your life and it was paid for what the person paid for it to be. You were bought with the blood of Christ. That's what was paid for you. And praise God, you've lived your whole life worshiping and working for the Lord. Now, don't get mad if somebody at the end of their life says, I'd like to get on some of that. Your life is valued at the same the blood of Jesus Christ. It was poured out. And from that, when we surrender our lives and we see that our lives as equal bondservants is the same, we have to see that servants don't pick fights with other servants. We're all doing this work together. We don't pick fights with each other. Instead, we should serve one another. Romans 6:16 says, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." You have said that you're going to be a slave to righteousness, then you're going to do what the righteous person tells you to do. Why are you acting like serving others is beneath you? Is it because loving the people of God is beyond you? Galatians 5:13 and 14 says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." You don't ever get to demand from the position of a servant. You don't ever get to. Who you will and who you won't serve is not determined by you. It's determined by your master. And if your master says, serve one another in love, then guess what? You're going to be serving one another in love. You serve the master and who he tells you to serve, not just the master. In closing, I want to say this. You will know that you have passed the test when you meet the demands of what a servant does. And a servant surrenders. A servant surrenders freedom. A servant surrenders advancement. And a servant surrenders their life. See, what you say is, I'm going to be dutiful in the needs and the desires of my master over my own. By my own choice. Because I recognize what Christ did for me. And me accepting it for my redemption, I now belong to God, sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when I do that, that comes with taking upon his yoke on me. See, when you're putting that yoke on yourself, you're saying, I'm submitting to the work that God has for you. You signed up to be and do this work. And when we are trying so hard to get out of doing anything that interrupts our plans, you might look and see if there's a test that you're not passing. Because it's probably the servant test. God is wanting you and I to show his love through serving him and serving his people. And he has given us himself as the ultimate example. And he's not asking us to do anything contrary to what he's done. See, God was faithful to himself. Jesus was faithful to God. The Holy Spirit is faithful to Christ. And we are faithful to God through the Holy Spirit through what Christ did. Through that, we serve one another. So this week, let's focus on being servants, slaves to Christ. Let's not see it as an ugly thing, and let's pass the test. Amen. Y'all stand with me.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.